I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
欢迎收听文化土豆，我是易康糯米。今天又是我们伦敦书店准备计划的一个，应该是第三次录制这样的节目，简单慢速英文，和我在伦敦书店的搭档 Richard 一起聊天。我们也把今天的英文聊天部分做成了一个很长的通话记录或者是字幕，放在了节目的 show notes 里面，是需要帮助听力的朋友可以对照着由电脑生成的这个字幕，可能有一些小错误，但是总比没有好。 Hi Richard.
Hi Ivan.
So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, actually, let me wish everyone a Happy New Year.
Oh, right. Happy New Year
of the Ox.
Yep. Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
So this week we're going to talk about the shop design. So it's, the format is going to be slightly different in that I will be asking Ifan a few questions about how the design of the shop came about. Just a little update.On the situation here, lockdown, the country is still under a national lockdown, which means that only food shops can open pretty much, which means we still don't, even though the numbers have come down, we still don't know when we're going to open. So we're waiting. And in the meantime,
I think in Scotland, bookshops are open.
Oh, really?
Oh, you didn't know?
Huh.
Yeah.
No, I was not aware, but I've not been keeping a close eye on Scotland. They just had more snow than us. That's all I know. So, maybe, Ifan, you could just provide us with a brief description of the location and the space where the shop is.
Thanks, Richard. So, if you listen to our very first episode, we did describeroughly the layout and the location of the shop. The shop is in an area called Hoxton in London, and it's next door to a Chinese supermarket. The building is actually not one of those you see in a London film, like Notting Hill. It's more like a building you would see in a second-tier city in China, I guess, but probably smaller. it's a modern building.
Well, now you say it that way.
It's a five-story...
It's what, 10 years old?
10 years old, five-story tall apartment block in a busy road. And so on the ground floor, you have what's called commercial units. So within this apartment...block, there are two commercial units. One is a Chinese supermarket, and the other is going to be a half Chinese bookshop. Within our commercial unit,
a half Chinese bookshop.
Well, it's kind of like a Chinese British run bookshop. Within our unit, we're sharing the shop space with an art gallery. So we only occupy.One third of the space, and the art gallery occupies two thirds the space, but we share the same entrance, if that makes sense.
So it's just one entrance for both. So you enter the gallery to enter the bookshop.
Yes, exactly. So when you enter, if you turn left, it's the bookshop. If you turn right, it's the gallery-ish.Maybe I should also say something about the floor of our half of the shop is about 15 to 20 square meters. And we have a fairly high ceiling. So from floor to ceiling is about four.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Shall we say 4 meters? 3 meters at least. 3 point something.
Yeah, it's a pretty high ceiling, isn't
yeah,
it?
So yeah, so 3.5 meters. But the shape of the space is a triangle. It's one of those classic triangles, as Richard would say, you study in a trigonometry class. So the road runs along, I would say,
hypotenuse.
And then we have, and along that side, let me maybe just use Chinese to describe this. So the triangle is like a...
Go for it.
Like a 勾三股四玄武, 这么一个三面墙, okay? So a hypotenuse is the 玄武那一边, okay? And what's called adjacent is the 就是勾三股四的股那一边, and then the opposite side is the...
Was it the right angle sides? Or opposite the hypotenuse.
Yes.
This is great. This is like Pythagoras' theorem. A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Exactly. So basically imagine hypotenuse is C. Yes. So imagine the walls is 3, 4, and 5 meters long, which roughly it probably is. It's slightly bigger than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the classic Pythagoras theorem triangle.
Yes. And the... opposite side is the 3, the adjacent side is the 4, and the hypotenuse side is the 5.
Ta-da! 10 out of 10.
Okay, so that's the space. And when you go into the shop, you go through the smallest acute angle, kind of, right?
Again, it's a gap between the wall.
Never mind.
It's like a little gap, rather than in the middle of a side, it's on the side of a side. If that makes sense.
Basically, as you go in... and
maybe you want to explain that one in Chinese.
It's already very confused. As you go into the shop, on your left, it's the hypotenuse, and it's got a window in the middle, and that's facing the busy road. And then on your right is the adjacent side. That's just like a wall that's dividing our bookshop and the shop next door. And then we have the opposite side... you have another wall. That's the layout. Is that...
essentially, it sounds like a lot of walls to put bookshelves on.
Exactly. Basically.
There's one takeaway from all this.
And what was your question?
Oh, so who did the design? Yeah, so essentially we went back, but essentially the question was who did the design planning?
Okay. So there were two designs. So one, we consulted a friend in Beijing who's an interior designer, and he gave a, you know, very simple layout, which actually looks pretty much like...
pretty much like what we got in the end.
Like what we got in the end. But what happened was we also engaged a London designer who's also a friend and practically worked for free on this, and... I wouldn't say she designed the shop. She walked through, you know, with us the different options, and she guided us with the design work, I would say. Helped us to choose colors and etc. And then...
sounds fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we name check her or name check her practice?
Yeah, what is her practice called?
Gatti Ruth Rhodes.
Yes, I think they won some awards recently.
Oh yeah, that's right. She had all sorts of she had an award at the end of her email address. There was an award for
some young architect of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
But I think they never did a bookshop project, and that's why she was very happy to work on this project for next to nothing fee, so that she would, you know, have this in her portfolio.
Right, to show off the show off her versatility.
So as you walk into the bookshop, what you first notice is you are facing a massive 3 meter wide bookshelf, and that's kind of a wooden bookshelf. Then you notice a round table, and then you notice a pendant ceiling light hanging above the round table. And on two sides, you have these hanging shelves that's not standing on the floor on the two sides. That's the main thing. And on the three walls, we have two tomes. So on the top 1 meter, about 1 meter, it's white. And then from floor to up to, say, 2.2 meters is a very light gray.
Right.
And we have positioned our bookshelves such that you have a top line. The gray line runs neatly on top of all the bookshelves.
Flush. And it's above the bookshelves are white.
Yes.
The walls are white.
Yeah.
So, again, making something very simple, very confusing is what we're doing here.
And we have two chairs as well. So all we have is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 items. So 3 shelves, 1 table, 2 chairs, and 1 light. That's it.
Right. But this was all furniture that the architect chose?
I mean, the most important things are the bookshelves. So the architects, we wanted to do this thing as cheaply as possible. And when I first, that's the wish. And when I first imagined the bookshop, I thought we could spend £1,000, £2,000 maximum on just getting a basic bookshop up and running.
Right.
So our architect told us the cheapest option would be to buy 10 IKEA Billy bookcases.
Okay, and then the Billy.
Set them up like soldiers.
All over, running, all around.
All over, all around.
Covering up all the walls.
Yeah.
A, B, and C.
That will look ugly for sure because you can't choose the color. And then each individual bookshelf, they will be slightly wobbly. They won't line up straight.
They won't all be flush.
So what happens is the architect proposed that a carpenter would, what's called a box out. To build fake walls above the Billy bookcase. So it looks like we have the Billy bookcases are living inside the walls.
Yeah.
Like built in.
Built-in bookcase, yeah.
And that boxing out alone is like £4,000 or something.
Wow.
Or maybe £2,000. Wow. It's a lot of money.
But anyway, it felt like a lot of money for what was basically air behind it.
Yes. Well, basically you're actually shrinking the room, right? You're building three additional walls to match.
Yeah, you're shrinking the room in a room that's not that big, not huge to start off.
Exactly. And then we can't build 10 Billy bookcases We actually tried this option a little bit.
We tried this, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were so successful.
The architect, I think, they told us you might want to buy 1 Billy bookcase and then put it up and then see if you like
the look.
See
what it would look like.
Yeah. And I think they realized that there's a good chance we won't like it. And we didn't, right?
Right. So they set us on a kind of, it was like, oh, you could try this. We don't think you're going to like it, but, try anyway.
Yeah. But their different option is they would design, custom make bookshelves for us, which are going to be also very expensive.
So that would have been more than the £4,000 to enclose the top of the bookcase.
For sure. That would be, I would say, twice as much. I did say in the beginning I wanted a minimalist look, just the focus should be the books and not the shelves, right?
That's true.
And in the bookshelving world, there is a very famous, what's called a modular bookshelf, 606 universal shelving system. It's designed by Dieter Rams.
Oh, yeah.
And
right, yeah.
Dieter Rams is very famous. I would say he's the Jonathan Ive.
Jonathan Ive took a load of inspiration he's like Jonathan Ive's god.
Right, okay, I didn't know that.
The calculator design on Apple is basically one of, just copy and pasted from a Dieter Rams calculator design.
Right, so For people who didn't know, Dieter Rams was probably working in the 60s and 70s and maybe late, even later. He worked for a German company, Braun.
Braun.
Still makes toothbrushes and kitchen stuff and shaving razors, etc.
There's a great documentary we could link. About Rams. I think it's just called Rams.
Rams. Yeah.
Yeah, we could link in the notes. I don't know.
But do you know that back then, to compare it to Jonathan Ive of Apple, Braun made loads of electronic goods, right? Like they made record players, speakers.
Sure.
Calculators, alarm clocks, which back then high tech. But you know what I noticed is Braun is reviving a Dieter Ram kind of ish design of speakers.
Oh, that's interesting because now I think the Braun products, they don't really look as interesting
nearly
as they did 40 years ago.
Exactly. So they handed the baton to, I would say, Muji and Apple.
Hmm.
And
yeah, probably. But then Rams also does this Vitsu thing nowadays. That's his outfit. This is what's going back to the 606 shelf.
Yes, which is now sold by a company called Vitsu. But then, you know, it's
massively expensive, isn't it? I mean, we could buy a lot of books with that money.
To buy three to fit our bookshelf with a Vitsu would cost a Tesla, basically.
Right.
A Model 3, a cheaper Tesla. Yeah.
Noted.
But in the end, you know, we found cheaper options. Yeah.
But you found these cheaper options, or?
I did.
In the end, right? Because the architect really was going to be too expensive designing his own shelves or her own shelves.
I found two separate things. I basically Googled, you know, alternatives to Dieter Rams bookshelves.
Did you write that? Alternatives to Dieter Rams bookshelves. Literally.
Yeah, and exactly. And all the options are still too expensive. What happened was then I went to a furniture shop in London that sells nice furniture. It's Conran shop. And
oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Who started the shop? Is Terence Conran.
So Terence Conran, who died last year, didn't he? He died not that long ago.
Was he a designer himself, or was he just a dealer?
That's a good question.
Anyway, I think basically
he's better known as a furniture seller than a furniture maker.
Yeah. So he sells a lot of minimalist furniture, let's say, from continental Europe. And so in his shop, I found this what's called a crossing shelf by an Italian company, a Milan-based company called Kryptonite.
Right.
And it's super minimal. It's even more minimal than Dieter Rams bookshelves. And it's a lot cheaper. It's still expensive, but it's a lot cheaper. So
than a 606.
Yeah. So what happened was, if we were to buy crossing shelves for all three walls, that would be too expensive.
I see.
So for the longest wall...
So this is why we've got two different sets of shelves in this bookshop. Because, you know,
yeah.
You'd imagine you just have one kind of bookcase.
Yeah. So basically, as you walk into the bookshelf on the left and right-hand side, you have this very minimalist shelf that's floating on the wall. And then the shelf that's facing you, it's a floor standing. It's kind of like a Billy bookshelf, but, you know, it's probably nicer looking. And that's a lot cheaper. And I thought it's better to have something that contrasts, that looks totally different than, you know, two similar type of bookshelves.
Okay. Yeah. break some of the uniformity.
Yes, exactly. So that's our bookshelves. And
I must say the architect ended up complimenting you on your choice of bookcases. In fact, also showed the design to a friend of mine who's turns out to be an interior designer, and he was amazed at the look of these, at least the first bookshelf.
Yeah.
That went in.
Yeah. So that's a bookshelf called Tilco. It's a Polish company, and they advertised on Instagram. Maybe it's in Pinterest. Yeah, I think Pinterest is a great source. Once you look for bookshelves and then you click on the pictures, you save some you like, then they work out your taste and then advertise to you. And and these Tilco bookshelves, basically you can, on their website, you can say, you can completely customize how wide, how tall, how many shelves you want, do you want doors? And then once you have the design, they tell you the price, you pay, then they produce it and ship it to you. And everything is super simple to assemble. You just do it yourself. Yeah.
So it's like really simple, bespoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say all our bookshelves still cost over £4,000 though. So it's still...
Right. So we're double the original idea, right? Like the original £2,000 idea, we're sort of double that.
Yes.
But we're not like, given what we just talked about, we could have been way beyond £4,000 at this stage.
Yeah. I don't know. Because we're going to sell books, and we also want to be able to sell other items as well.
Of course,
because the margins on books are quite thin. And so we don't want to limit our options. So we want the bookshop to look kind of fancy, to look tasteful. And so that we can sell other stuff as well. So I guess that's why we overspent a bit on shelves. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I didn't want people to walk in and think this shop, you know, is a budget shop, and they didn't feel like spending money.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
that's
lure them in.
Retail psychology here.
Exactly. Is that, I mean, anything else you'd like to add to all the various bookshelves?
No. What about you?
Okay, sure. Because, I mean, beyond shelves, there's a table in the middle of the space, and a couple of chairs.
Yeah.
Now, is that just combined to form some sort of workstation? I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, because you need to sit somewhere, right? You're going to work in the shop. And so that's basically your desk and your chairs. And yeah, maybe you can talk about the two chairs and then I'll talk about the table. Yeah.
Yes, there are a couple of random chairs which were provided on a long-term loan from my father's company. They seem to have a collection of chairs. And as a few years ago, they moved offices. They moved to smaller offices. It means they had to reduce their collection of chairs. They can, they had too many chairs for the new smaller premises. So I asked if we could, you know, borrow a couple for our space, because I thought they'd probably fit in quite nicely. So out of the chair collection, we have a Harry Bertoia molded shell side chair.
Which one is that? Oh, that's the yellow one. Yeah.
Yeah, with a polished chrome frame finish. And that's apparently a 1960 design.
Yeah.
Harry Bertoia. And then the turquoise one is a Philip Stark Dr. Globe model. Or Dr. Glob. There's no E.
Which one is the turquoise one? I don't even remember the look now.
Is it turquoise green? You know, we're amazing at colours, but something like that.
I just until
somebody says it's blue.
Because the yellow one is so yellow, that's the only one I remember. Okay, so there's a blue chair, I see. And what's
No, it's green. Was it green or turquoise? I don't know. No, it's green. Let's say it's green. It's probably green. It's probably too green to be turquoise. My mistake.
And what, yeah, so what legs does it have?
It's called Dr. Glob. Sorry?
What legs? Does the green chair
have? What legs does it have? It's got aluminium.
Okay.
So the rear legs are aluminium, but the front legs are plastic.
Are they? So is this from the 80s, 90s?
This is, yeah, 1988 chair.
Okay, I see.
I actually remember when my father got that one. It was dead exciting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... So thank you to thank you to them for the loan of the chairs.
Yeah,
which of course means that now one can sit down.
But I would like to just add those two chairs are mighty uncomfortable to sit on.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. Oh gosh. Right. We're going to need to pad them out with something. I don't know.
Yeah. But they look nice. Yeah. They look very, very nice. Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. All these designers, you know, they make chairs and then this kind of like, I don't know. I think most chairs are not designed to be sat on, you know.
No.
So, the last thing I was going to ask you about in the space, so the thing that sort of crowns the whole space is the hanging light in the center, which is quite the showpiece. Where did you find that, Ivan?
So that I found in a
maybe we should
secondhand...
describe it a little. It's kind of like
it's a
flying open book.
Yes,
sort of. Half bird, half book.
Yeah, it's like a metal sculpture. It's quite airy and light and hung from two pieces of very thin steel cables from the ceiling. Yeah, so it looks like you have a book opening up. Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
Just walking past the secondhand shop in somewhere. I saw the thing before I knew we were going to have this bookshop and I wanted that light, and that light was very expensive. I wrote it down somewhere, it's nearly £900.
Right,
so I thought, okay, that's out of the question, that would be too extravagant. But when we had, you know, have this project, then I thought, okay, so we need something interesting in the shop to make it Instagrammable. I think that's exactly what I thought, you know, this is the only thing I thought people might come in, even as they walk past us in the street, it might catch their attention. And
do you think they'll wonder if we got any of those in on sale?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like if I saw the light, I would ask. Yeah, I did ask about, you know, the dealer, the secondhand furniture dealer, and he told me that this is probably, to his knowledge, a unique piece that was designed by a Swedish designer, I don't have the name, for some client in the 60s.
Right. Oh, so we need to do a bit of
research. Yeah, that was his sales spiel.
Research.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we didn't talk about the table.
What's happening with the table?
It's the proudest achievement I have. So it's a circular round table. And again, it's from Instagram. There's a French company called Tiptoe. They make, the technical term, I think, is called F-clamp table legs.
Right.
So a clamp is something
that kind of holds or
grabs something. So these table legs is like a letter F, and then you can actually fit the F opening to any tabletop that you may have yourself, and then you can screw it tight. So in basically like a workman would use F clamps to clamp anything, but these ones are actually nice looking. And so basically they are universal table legs. So you can order for a circular table. Again, we can save on the cost. We only need three legs for a circular table. Whereas if it's a rectangular table.
So you just order
table,
the legs individually.
Yeah. Well, I ordered the legs from Tiptoe. They were posted from France. They are actually all right, the price. It's about £55 each, so £150.
All right, okay, yeah.
And And we save on the tax as well. So it's actually less than 55 to us. And then the tabletop, the round circular disc top, is from the cheapest shop in the UK called Argos. And that's like £100 for a 1.2 right. meter wide circular table top. But that came in a wooden color, like a natural oaky, light oak color. I painted it with the surplus floor paint we have, the gray color. And the
gray. Yeah, so it matches the floor.
So our table and the floor is the same color, but that's the designer, that's the architect's idea.
Right.
Yeah.
But you executed it all.
I executed it terribly, I think you would call it.
But, you know, you got the clamps, you got the actual piece of wood.
Yeah.
And then you painted it.
I painted three coats and I couldn't get it to look very smooth. So what happened was, in the end, I took a sandpaper and I sanded down the surface. So the table already looks kind of worn out, a little bit worn out and tired.
Okay.
You may not have noticed it. Yeah.
Once we put lots of books on it, we might...
Yeah, you won't notice.
People won't notice.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. I think we've covered it all pretty much.
Yeah. Right. So that's the design.
It's essentially it.
Yeah, and some good brands and quite good value for money brands that, yeah, if you guys are interested to buy these products, you can take a look. I recommend them.
Sure. Are we going to include some links or?
Yeah, we're going to put some links. Yeah. I want to also add, you know, with those kryptonite crossing shelves that's floating. So those shelves are screwed into the wall. So they are, you know, like 20 screws. And if you're going to put books on them, those walls were strengthened especially. So a builder have put a 20 cm perhaps plywood against whatever wall was there originally and then painted the whole thing. So we have an extra wooden layer so the nails can have some, what would you call it, a bite catch?
Oh, I see, yeah.
Thing?
I don't know, depth. Yeah.
Depth, yeah. So it can actually go in there and then take the weight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want any collapsing bookshelves.
Nope, not at all, yeah.
That would be most embarrassing.
The shop now, it looks beautiful because it has no books and no customers. So it looks very clean and very airy. And...
no browsers.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it won't continue to be like that. But at this rate, who knows, given that we're still very much in lockdown.
Yeah. So have you a word? An interesting English word for this.
Oh, the interesting English word. Goodness gracious. Sure, yeah, I have a word. So I was thinking, as it's Chinese New Year and you will all be receiving some money, we thought we might look at, you know, another word for money, perhaps something that could be considered slang, you know, not what we'd say Queen's English. And there are hundreds, there are plenty of different terms for money, but one of them we thought would be interesting is quid, especially as in London.
Q-U-I-D.
Q-U-I-D. In London, you know, people would be just, you know, would say, rather than say £2, might say it's 2 quid, 3 quid, or whatever, 500 quid. There's no really...
Yeah.
Until you get into probably lots of zeros. Or you might even say, you know, still say 1 million quid.
Yes.
But interestingly, you might say 1 million quid, but if you're 10,000, you wouldn't say 10,000 quid, you'd be saying 10 grand. So there's a bit where it's sort of, you know, you might say in the hundreds, you're still on quid, but then once you get to beyond 1,000, you might be talking about grand. And then when you reach 1,000,000, you'd probably be back on 1,000,000 quid.
Okay.
What would you reckon? I mean, I don't know. I never really heard anyone talk about 1,000, you know, 100,000 quid.
You're right. No? So when we were in English class, we were told British money is pounds. And
yeah.
But when you come
pounds
to England,
sterling.
Nobody actually says this is £3. They would say 3 quid. Can you lend me 5 quid? So it's a good word to know. And what Richard mentioned is 1,000 quid is a grand, right?
But so this time is 1 grand.
1 grand. And
good, but grand assuming 1,000.
Yeah.
And being short.
5,000 is short? 5 grand. Yeah, so quid and grand.
But quid, doesn't it in Chinese, don't you talk about kuai?
Yeah, we say kuai. And quid and grand, that you don't put S's at the end, right?
Ah, no, you don't. So, yeah, you don't say 1 quid, two quids. It's just quid. Doing very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas you might say £1, £2.
Yeah. But interesting, I think it's also interesting, if you visit North America, they don't understand quid, but they do understand grand. They say grand as well.
Oh, yeah, they'll say grand, yeah.
Yeah, but they won't say quid. Yeah.
No, they'll say bucks.
Bucks. Oh, exactly. Quid is buck.
Yeah.
Yes.
But did they say 1 buck, 2 bucks?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you see. Yeah, they pluralize it.
Yeah. But I don't know whether they say a tenner and a fiver.
That's, oh.
5 quid is a fiver.
I think they do. Yeah. Or do they talk in, like, you know, whatever it is, Hamiltons and...
Oh, do they?
I don't know. Isn't the 100 a Franklin?
A Franklin.
No, Benjamin, even. A Benjamin.
Oh, no. You should tell us about that word. What is a bin Laden?
What do you mean, what is a bin Laden?
You know, like, a Benjamin Franklin is on the $100 bill.
Yeah.
That's 100. So people say one Franklin or one Benjamin. I don't know.
Yeah.
In Europe, you have 500 euro note cash.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me that's called a bin Laden?
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Why? Because terrorists, etc., amass 500 euro notes.
Yes.
Rather than $100. Rather than Benjamins, I'd rather have 500 euro notes.
You don't remember this?
Yeah, I might have known this and then forgotten about it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I think that's really interesting. It's a 500 pound, sorry, a 500 euro note is a bin Laden.
Okay, right, okay, I see what you mean. So you've got 500 euros bin Laden, $100 a Benjamin.
Yeah.
And then otherwise we've got 1 quid, 2 quid.
Yeah. Yeah. But just a tip, if you visit Europe, don't bring any bin Ladens. Nobody accepts them. It's
yeah, I must say, you hardly see any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
It's in France, it's illegal now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't you remember last time I had a bin Laden and I had to visit the Bank of France to break it up?
Really? Oh, yeah, that rings a bell. You're like, excuse me, I've got too many bin Ladens. Yeah. Can you give me a few, something smaller? How about a couple of, you know, a few Benjamins?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure people say Benjamins, but, well, thank you very much,
rappers,
Richard.
Rappers talk about Benjamins, and there's
really?
A famous song, It's All About the Benjamins, Baby.
Oh, I see. Okay, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's some culture for you.
That's all right. I mean, we've gone off course from quid.
All right. Okay, let's call it tonight. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Ethan, and thank you all.
Let's talk next month. Okay, ciao.
Ciao.
希望你喜欢这期节目，再次祝所有的听众牛年大吉，也感谢昨天在 Clubhouse 上参与了我们这个听众新春拜年茶话会的朋友，我真的是度过了非常美好的 三个钟头时间。文化土豆的官网是 culturepotato.com， 在那里你可以成为赞助人，收听 Unpack 栏目，阅读文化土豆听众制作的土豆小报。而且我们的赞助人已经收到了通知，下一期土豆小报的主题是趁大家在家过年的时候采访家中的亲戚朋友或者是老人，制作一份普鲁斯特问卷，截稿日期是2月底。谢谢大家。
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.